Comics Daily. That's what I call it in my mind.
You know what we should do? We should just pretend like we've been recording them and posting them on time, but for some reason a listener has not figured out, like, hey, just like,
exactly.
Told the contest went.
No, Scotty, it's like, well, on our last episode, we talked about the 10 ways you cannot fail with your webcomic, and so we're
right.
we don't need to cover.
I thought you were
going to
say, like, I hope you guys are enjoying the new direct to your smartphone download system with stuff. Getting a lot of good feedback.
Really loving it.
Hey, let's face it. They believe the Southwest Airlines things. They'll believe anything.
And then they had a sale recently.
I don't know how I did this. I don't know how I did this, but I was just kind of randomly clicking and half paying attention on ads. And somehow a Project Wonderful ad from Dave's site led me to this animationroadshow.blogspot.com. And on the right side of this blog is just a sidebar of books he recommends. And all of them appear to be French comics that the covers make me want to read these. And it's like, screw America. Our comics clearly suck. These French comics look amazing.
No, I want to go see.
I mean, there's a lot of art book stuff, but come on.
Yeah, I know you guys make fun of me, but my goal is to get us to Angoulême because it's a great show. It's fun to see this ridiculously beautiful art that you never see in the U.S.
Look, Gary, my friend Gary that's traveling the world, actually he's back in the States now. He's going to be in San Diego, guys. But he ended up in where Angoulême is, and he's like, do you know they love comics here? They're on the walls, like they on buildings and stuff. So
That's exactly my American attitude. Hey, they read comics too. Wow. Chewing my bubble gum. Golly.
Gary's like, you should come here. You'll be revered as a king or a god.
Except that they have their own awesome comics.
They look at our black and white panels and they're like, meh. All right.
Well, black and white, not mine anymore, man. Meh.
Well, before we go too much further, have we started recording?
No.
Don't be.
I
bet you're getting
to answer Brad's question, I don't know if we've started recording. I clicked record just in the odd chance.
We're recording. This is all gold. You guys wanted to record it all. Right.
Look, I figure people have been missing it. They got to feel the banter come back.
That's right. Yeah. I'm only bummed that we didn't record the one Irish statement that we all know how to make.
Let's say it. What was your Irish statement?
The only thing I know how to say in Irish is, all right, I'm going to the film with your man there. Right. I just love the film.
And mine is, tell me about the potatoes, father.
Chris, what was yours?
Mine was a hot potato.
Winner, ding, ding, ding.
Don't even try, Brad.
No, I want to hear Brad. Brad, come on.
I want to hear Brad.
Would
you like to stop in for a nice potato?
What?
I thought Brad was going to be, oh, here it is, glug, 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 glug.
and then Brad,
that's very authentic. And he's like, yeah.
You just hear knuckles hitting flesh
Chris,
in the background.
That, you do that, Chris does, I can't do accents. I can only, I just can do certain phrases in certain accents, like, I can't do a plantation accent, but I can say, I keep this in my pocket for just such an emergency, and then that's it. But, Chris, you can do that weird, is it a Liverpool accent? Where you're talking about trees?
Liverpool accent, yeah. But, see, it works better if I do, if you work on, like, the mantra verse. What did I say the last time? I'm just happy to be here, you know?
Right.
And then, then when you talk in that long enough, then you can start to branch it out.
Now, when we went to Seattle and we're driving and you go, there's lots of trees.
Yeah, so I was talking about this.
Yeah.
That wasn't really Liverpool. I don't know what that is.
That's more.
All sorts of trees here.
All sorts of trees. I can't even copy you.
One of my one of the best that South London accent where they take the TH and they make it an F. I think I'll go, you know, that one. I think I had a fault. Anyway, so yeah.
Is that the Dick Van Dyke chimney sweep?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hello, holiday with Mary.
Hello, Mary Poppins. I'm Mary like Poppins. No Brit you've ever heard before.
Just every single. It's like Australian. It's Chinese. It's every other thing.
And Mary, hold your hand. You feel so grand.
Hey, you know what? Guess what? Web Comics Weekly. But bam. You know what else? I said that as if I was trying to get us back on topic. I don't care. It's been you know what? We are going to have 5 days to talk about web comics, and that's all we're going to be doing at San Diego Comic Con. Why do we got to do that right now?
You know what? Right? Our fans want to know what we think about San Diego Comic Con.
We can talk about that.
My fans want to know what I think about Chris Straub, and I'll tell you what. I only think good things. I don't even know where that's
going. It's a clamor.
I get emails.
They need to know.
I get emails constantly. Hey, Dave, it's Mom again. Listen.
it's like, you don't like him, though, right? I mean, you guys are all buddy-buddy and stuff, but you don't like him. You don't like him.
I got to tell you that I'm really excited about San Diego this year because I still remember in a very Christopher Walken in Brainstorm kind of way, the memories from last San Diego and how depressed we all were to leave. Oh, like, yes. It was an amazing San Diego last year.
A magical time.
I'm pumped. We're about to go back to that greatness.
Yeah.
Watch it be shit this year.
That's why I'm trying really hard not to get my hopes up. Everything.
So let me start the ball real quick. Last year for San Diego, I wanted to kill myself because it was day one, and I knew that I was already going to not make a profit because of a mistake I made. So once I got rid of – well, once I got over, I'm not going to make a profit this year because of a stupid mistake, and I just had a good time. I just forget about it. I had a good time, and some magical things happened, but to know that this year – some magical things could happen, and I am not going to make the same mistakes that prevent me from turning a profit. I am so pumped.
Mm-hmm.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the initial statement. I mean, I'm pumped too, but I'm laughing at the initial, like, I made a fatal mistake. I did not bring books. I only brought...
No,
we got to bring pants. I could not sell all weekend because I did.
Guys,
I had to stay seated the whole time.
The mistake was almost that stupid. We spent $300 shipping our booth, that giant monstrosity of a fucking booth.
Yeah.
$300 to ship it from Texas to San Diego. It cost us $500 to move it from the back of the convention center to our booth because of the clearly mob front. Because
of the union.
It's free.
Hey, Mr. Kratz, you need this moved? All right, hey.
What do you mean you didn't know about it? It's in the book. Read a book, asshole.
Hey, I got to finish my sandwich before I move your crate, Mr. Kratz. Hold on a second. In the meantime,
yeah,
Mr. Carter. I realized I was mixing my voices.
Hey, David, speaking of which,
yes.
So to let all the listeners know, this year, instead of shipping an entire giant booth that did look beautiful, and I will miss the fact that, it was a beautiful presence,
beautiful,
and I'll miss that.
No argument, but I'm so happy you're done
with
it.
Oh, yeah. This year, it's two trusses that have a banner that goes across. This is a beautifully designed banner that the banner does one thing and one thing only, and it tells people to walk up to my booth what's for sale and how they can maximize their bucks by buying packages.
Oh, I saw your Twitter post. Are you going to use that icon of the buy things, walk away?
It's on there. It's on there. It's next to the Visa and MasterCard. This year we're selling all of our stuff individually, but we have four packages. And if you buy one of the packages, you get a couple things, and you save money, as opposed to if you had bought all that same stuff individually. And so we have the packages on the banner, and then we have this thing says pimp your package. So if you buy a package, but you really kind of wanted a shirt in that package, you can add a shirt for cheaper than if you just bought a shirt. So that's what our banner is this year, a big roadmap to maximizing your buying power at PvP. But it does have the buy shit walk away icon on it.
I
will be pointing at it often if we get a booth barnacle.
It's going to be high up there. You need to get like a pointer that you can.
So David bought a truss to hang a banner across for your half pixel booth, and I asked him which one he bought. He recommended it, and I purchased it. It's been sitting in my house, my hallway, for about a month. And today I asked Dave Kellett, have you opened yours? Because I'm afraid to ship it without opening it first and then find out like I need an Allen wrench or something and I don't have it. And Dave said, oh, yeah, set it up last week to test it, did all that. And I said, you need any tools? And he goes, oh, yeah, I needed a hammer, I needed pliers, and I needed a screwdriver, but I can't remember if it's a flathead or Phillips. And I said, are you kidding me? And he goes, no, but I'll bring tools, so don't worry about it. So today, in a panic, my brother and I opened our truss to find out no tools are needed.
No, what?
David?
Did you buy the same one I bought?
I don't know. It's a two truss it's two trusses that go up and have a big bar that goes across the top.
Dave, the one you bought requires a blowtorch, and you can't take it down once you built it once.
No, hold on. Don't hate me. You know what I did? Don't hate me.
Right.
I recently put together my daughter's red wagon. What do you call those? Radio flyers? And that required a hammer, a wrench, and a screwdriver. Shit.
So my brother,
you can't hate me. You can't hate me. You asked me out of the blue.
My brother and I go, do it tonight. And he goes, well, I was going to play some World of Warcraft. I go, wrong. You're coming over. We got to set this thing up because I don't want to get out there and realize we need the tool. And Brian comes over and we pull out these. Let's pull out the instructions first. And we pull out the instructions first. He's like, you don't need a fucking thing. It all is just nuts and bolts.
You know what, Scott? You guys wanted to play World of Warcraft. You ended up playing World of Storecraft.
No, you know what? Let's make this a positive. Let's spin this into a positive. You know what you got? You didn't get to play World of Warcraft, but you know what you got? You got family time. You got family time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't going to play World of Warcraft either way. I had to draw a bunch tonight, but Brian didn't get to play, and that's what's important.
What's important is that he got family time.
It's important is Brian got
or whatever.
Snookered.
So the lesson,
but anyway, yeah.
But we should always extract a lesson from this, and I think the broader lesson for all webcomics creators is don't call or email Dave for advice. I think is what.
Don't call David for advice. I just Twittered.
All my plants are dead.
So what are we going to talk about tonight with in regard to San Diego? Because I just Twittered that we were recording this, and a cartoonist said in response, "I hope this episode tells me that everything I just did for San Diego was wrong. Please, please, please." And it seems like a lot of people are worried about that.
I wish that he would clarify that. What could you do? What can you do at San Diego that is wrong? How can you blow your San Diego?
You can ship a $500. No, you can ship a big booth to the wrong time zone thing, and well, I mean, it all depends. Like. If you're shipping all your stuff to your hotel, there's a couple things you could do wrong. If you're shipping stuff to the con directly, there's a bunch of stuff you could do wrong. You could forget a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's a big con. It's 4 days, and there's a lot that could go wrong, to be honest.
Yeah,
don't you think?
In the 7 to 8 years that we've all been doing this, or 10 years we've all been doing this, we've all seen every version of every mistake you could make, from like, oh, I forgot to ship this, or I forgot this at the hotel, to... oh, I forgot that I didn't get a booth. We've seen everything.
But didn't you feel like you were able to overcome most of those? I forgot to bring all product.
No, but it's not that you're unable to overcome it. But it's just that when it comes to San Diego, unlike other cons, everything is so expensive that you only have a certain like number of whammies before you're. Whole visit is at best a break even proposition.
Right.
No, that's true.
You know, and it's like every year we went to San Diego, Angie and I used to have this attitude of, hey, San Diego's for exposure and for fan service, and you try to break even. And then we met, Koo and we met Kellett, and they were both like, what? No, we don't go to any convention until we can make money. Of course, you want to make a profit. And we were like, oh, I guess we better figure out how to make a profit at San Diego.
Yeah, I've said it before, opportunity for that. I think, you know, and granted, I'm going to say this right outright, but I don't pay for a flight to San Diego. I drive down, so I save money there. And I don't pay for a hotel room because I'm staying with family, but I save money there. But even if I had to pay for both, I would come out with a huge profit from San Diego. You can make a lot of money at San Diego.
You can.
You can. You really can. It's, think about it. It's 5 days of selling to 130,000 people that are there just freaking loving pop culture and comics.
Guys, you really can. You can.
No.
You, yeah, but what
I,
I'm
but I, well, I say that because there's still a lot of people that are like, oh, you can't make money. There's just, you know what, you do it for other reasons. And I'm like, no, you don't waste 5 days of your life to travel down where you don't get to wander away from your booth very much and do it without profit. If I'm leaving my family and going to a show, I'm making money. You know?
Well, so that's a question I want to ask. What is the biggest mistake you can make at San Diego? We all know there's a lot of them, but what's the number one mistake you can make?
Well, I've said it before, but I think it's not controlling costs. And we had a whole podcast about that.
No, absolutely, David. Absolutely.
True.
You can drop cash so fast.
I'm going to throw another one in there that I think that is right up there. Not bringing enough. In other words, underestimating your stock.
Yeah.
I think that I've seen so many people, and I've been one of them at different conventions, run out of stuff by Sunday.
Yeah, but I
don't know.
If you run out by midday Sunday, is that an awful thing? I think that's an awful.
Yeah, the thing is this, Brad. It's every year that we bring too much stuff, that hurts our profits more than if we sell out because you're at the end of the show, and now you've got to find a way to get stuff back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The only year that we had excess inventory – and we actually – it didn't hurt us – was the on Sunday, I spent most of the day hustling to a couple of the retailers set up at San Diego to try and I got a bunch of them to buy some of my books to take back to their store at a reduced cost.
Yeah. But you guys have been there – you guys have been there late on Sunday when they've closed up, and it's like 45 minutes past closing. Everybody's packing the – booths and those lifts are going down the aisle and they're pulling up carpet and there's some guy walking around with just a truckload, you know, hand truck full of books. He's like, you want a book? You want books? Like, I cannot afford to ship this back. So just take it.
I always feel bad for you when I see you doing that, Chris.
But it's not even a matter of it's whether it's expensive to ship it back. Your options for shipping back when you're in San Diego is you have to understand that it's 100,000 people all in the same boat, and you can stand in line at the FedEx place for 40 years and miss your flight home, or you can pack it up on a pallet and have Freeman ship it back for you, you know, in which case you better prepare for, you know, that contingency. But you could end up being stuck with a big shipping bill. I see a lot of people throwing stock away because it's cheaper to eat the cost of that stock than to ship it.
Right. Well, my thought on that is just always know, like, if you have time after the show ends but before your flight takes off, for example, and you know, let's do the math on it. You have 40 books, right? And the average per unit cost is somewhere around $2. So it's $80 worth of stock to you. Well, a media mail package of 40 books is going to cost you $15 to send it anywhere in the continental U.S., or probably even Alaska and Hawaii. So is it worth it to you to take an extra box of books, which could have made you hundreds and hundreds of dollars, for the opportunity cost of $15 to media mail it back? My attitude is generally yes, you know. But
yeah, no,
you've got 30-pound maquettes that you can't send media mail, and you have to super package and it's some Lord of the Rings thing that – you know, it's one of a kind Frodo, and you brought 20 of them, and you only sold one. Well, then you're kind of boned, you know.
Yeah, well, I know, I understand what you're saying, but you say media mail home as if it's as simple as media mailing out there. It's Sunday night at San Diego. They're ripping up the carpet. You've got four boxes worth of books. What are you doing with them?
Yeah. How do you get them anywhere?
Well, where are you going with them?
My thinking was that you're flying out Monday probably and going to a post office. But you're right. If you're flying out Sunday night, you're kind of boned. So that's why I say you have to take into account your own situation and what you're selling and how you're getting home. But
I think
what about spending an extra day out there to take in the city?
Well, for example, like one thing that Glow and I have talked about is that we should maybe start, and you can do this with your webcomics cohorts as well for whoever you are, is that maybe we should have a half pixel depot in the sense of, like, if you guys don't sell stuff, maybe leave some stuff in LA so that the next time you're going to a show where I can drive, I bring some PvP stuff and some Star Slip stuff. And you know,
is San Diego a big enough con to merit the webcomics.com crew renting a storage facility in San Diego and just keep shit there?
Why don't we just move there?
No.
You mean like a year round type of storage facility?
Yeah. Let's see. In San Diego, a 5x5 would probably cost us maybe $80 a month if we went far enough out. So what is that for 12 months? That's what is that, 960?
It's almost.
You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it for that long. But what I'm saying is, like, that's what Sommer does with his booth. Like Sommer. His booth is similar to mine, or it was similar to the one I am not bringing this year. Been there in Canada. Rather than ship it back and forth between Canada and every con they do in the States, they just have a storage facility in the States where it stays during con season.
Well, I think you're also, though, if you go transnational, it probably the costs probably go much higher, don't you think? So, like, if he were to bring it back to and store it in a moose locker
once
or something.
Once it's in the U.S., probably, he might as well keep it in the U.S.
Yeah. He might as well keep it in the U.S. I bet there's additional fees.
You're right.
I mean,
but, you know, if we did something like that and we split it four ways, it wouldn't be that expensive.
Nah, well, it's $250 bucks each, probably.
That's
four
true. Yeah, that's true.
But here, guys, though, for me, I've and this is not super helpful for Scott because he's not necessarily exhibiting with us, but I've got everything in my back shed and I'm driving it down. We're fine.
No, I agree. And I'm covered because all of my books are being brought by Image to the show.
Right.
And the only thing I'm really shipping to the convention floor is a pallet of supplies and, you know, the shelving system, the booth, the odds and ends, some posters.
Cheaper than getting a storage unit, I think if we all just admit that all four of us should live in L.A., I think the sooner we can make that happen, then I think we're...
That's not going to happen. Trying too hard to get to Seattle. Can I be really honest with you guys? And when I say you guys, I mean the entire listenership of Webcomics Weekly. If someone said to me, what's keeping you at Image Comics the most... I think it's the San Diego con. And I'll tell you why, because Image is one of Diamond's premier publishers. And since Diamond, of course, goes to the show, Diamond loads up a couple semi-trucks worth of stuff and just drives it. And if you're a premier publisher, they'll bring your stuff on the semi. So it costs pennies to ship to San Diego if you're with Image. I just tell Image and it's brought on the big Diamond truck. And it's just waiting for me at the Image booth.
It is very hard to pad up.
Yeah.
That's pretty posh. That's more than the Image eye on my book does for me.
yeah, probably. But you know what, though, Brad? I just had a thought. You were talking about what's the one big mistake that you can do or to avoid for San Diego. You know what we should talk about now is the one big thing that you should definitely do for San Diego. And I got my take on that. Is that you have got to have one, if not two, new things for San Diego every year.
Absolutely.
You got to have a driver in traditional retailing terms. You got to have a driver.
What you got? What you got, Dave?
What's your driver this year, Dave?
Well, I got to – so Chris, when we were at Baltimore Comic Con last year, was sleeping. And
you got Chris? That's pretty good.
I had my camera out.
I'm a bring him in guy.
I'm gonna get some bring me some 8x10 glossies that I'm gonna be selling to the Star Slip fans, and they are pretty spicy, and so I think that's gonna be a big money maker for me this year.
Well, you know, a Mexican doesn't agree with me. So.
Let's just say it's all Egypt downstairs, ladies.
Oh God!
Talk about the mystery of the Sphinx. Wow.
Oh, better joke construction. Better joke construction.
Chris opens his pants and a bunch of scarabs just pour out of his zipper.
It's like a mummy.
Out. And then the scarabs just form a little jinxlet. All right. So, So what am I bringing this year? I've got a new book and a new print, which is probably going to be limited just to San Diego Comic-Con. So that's me. Brad, we've
what about you, Chris?
Before. Between the four of us, we have 8 new books, guys, this San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I got Star Slip Volume 3 and Chainsaw Suit 2.
Dave has a new book, so that's 3. Brad, you got a new book?
I've got the Fables book is new since San Diego, and yep. The Evil Inc. Volume 4 in full blazing color is new.
And then I have the Awesomeology and Volume 6 new.
I'm really, really eager to see that Awesomeology.
Oh, I'm so excited.
You know what, guys? Let me ask you something interesting to me. How about shirts?
None for me this year.
None for me either.
5 designs.
None Bam. For me.
Take that. Now, take that, Ennui.
Including a new shirt that's debuting at the con.
What was your impetus behind that? You know, because I was like, shirts just underperformed for me. I don't want to bring them, and they're run out of sizes. They're heavy.
Maybe I shouldn't have done it. Oh no!
I know that's the thing for me is just the sizes. It's just as soon as I sell out of extra large, I got 19 people walking up going, "Hey, where's all the extra larges? I can't find
anything." My wife was smart enough the last 2 years to keep a detailed inventory of what we sold, and so we're only bringing this year the sizes and the number of shirts that we've sold average over the last 2 or 3 years.
That's
you know what?
Smart.
You want to talk about an item that it's a shame to run out of? Like you don't want to run out of books on midday Saturday, right? Yeah. But T-shirts, I think that should just be like the cream, the icing. You bring enough of those to sell them, and if you run out, good, because you don't have to take them back with you.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll be honest, fellas. I think for conventions, I'm getting out of the T-shirt business, but that's just me. I think I just want to do books and prints and original art at conventions.
You're getting to the point where you've got enough books where that's really a concern.
Well, here's the point where women just come up and hand them money and leave. Thank you for shouting.
They don't even want anything.
I like how the woman in this scenario is like, what accent was that? Thank you for Sheldon. It's, you know, it's sort of like the old telephone operators. Klondike 555, Mabel, Mr. Keller calling, Mr.
Like,
Scott
Kite. Like
oh, did you hear about Mabel? Mabel said what?
One of the reasons why I'm bringing shirts this year is, again, and this might sound a little mercenary, but we put together these packages to encourage people to get more than just one thing. So, you know, like one of the packages is a shirt and a book. One of the packages is a shirt, a poster, and a book. One of the packages is all 6 books. So I'm curious to see if you sell more shirts that way or more books that way. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a good
Well, we're going to be doing a similar thing over at the Half Pixel booth, too. We've got, I think, 3 different packages where – I know one of them is you can get the first volume of each of our books. I think another one is you can get the latest volume of each of our books. Is that right?
Yeah. And then the third package is just...
I wasn't on this conversation.
Well, yeah, I know. You were not very helpful during that planning stage.
What? Chris, no, hold on a second. Chris, did you even know that this was happening?
Hold on a second. I'm not discounting anything.
I know, right? You're like, hold the phone, guy. I need that money. Do not take that money from me. I'm not selling any of my crap with your crap. No, Chris, we talked about this over email. Or
no, we did. We did. Don't worry.
No, we talked about this. Chris, his voice always goes up about half an octave there when he really gets nervous.
I know. Well, I did get nervous for a half second because I'm like, I've already paid for a dang 10-foot sign. Come on.
I locked myself in my room. Chris, come out. Come out. Let's just talk about it.
No, so Brad, yeah, the 3 packages that we put together. Package 1 is all of the first volumes of our books. Package 2 is the all the most recent volumes of our books, and then package 3 is the All Egypt Downstairs package, and that one is going to really sell, I think.
I like how you came back to it. I know you got interrupted the first time you told it. But
I know. You know what? And it wasn't worth it. My.
You know what? It was strong though, but I think. Well,
whenever I go blue, it's never worth it. It's just I'm not good at it. I'm not Brad Geiger.
Nobody, Brad Geiger. That's what you should add some glossies of.
Jake, you know what it is? I imagine that headshot that we're all familiar with, Brad, with the hand on the chin, but it's just naked. Just everything else, just naked.
Well, if you look at it, like that shirt was photoshopped in. They had to airbrush it.
Someone took a J. Crew straight on shot and just brushed it in for Brad.
Just dropped it in. Like, we cannot put this on the back of the book.
You know, I would never bring this up, but since it's been brought up, I have to ask. What was Brad? What was the fucking impetus for that photo? That chin on your hand, chuckles, fucking what was the guy's name that used to be on the fucking match game? What was his name?
Not Jim J. Bullock. What was his name?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charles Nelson Reilly. Yeah.
Can Charles Nelson Reilly pose the sitcom dad? Nothing goes right for me. Photo. What made you take that photo?
Behind the eight ball again.
Tell me, describe the day. You wake up and you're like, it's photo shoot day. Come on.
Honey, I'll be back at 3. Gotta get, oh, where's my blue shirt? There it is. All
right. First thing you gotta do is trip over an ottoman. Then, out the door.
No, you know what has to happen right before that photo happens? He's like, all right, I'm just going to have a sip of my coffee before we take the shot. Oh, coffee down the front of my shirt. Hand on chin.
It is.
Would you believe I had a professional photographer shoot that photo?
I do believe it because it's perfectly lit. Yeah.
No, the guy is really – he's a friend of mine from the Daily News, and he's like a well-known portrait photographer. And so I said I needed something for my books, and that's kind of how he arranged it, because the other ones kind of look stupid or maybe more stupid, I guess.
No, I can imagine like just – because I remember for the back of How to Make Webcomics, I didn't know what picture to choose. Just because a lot of them were just like, it looks like I'm just sitting there.
Wait, you know what? I want to grab my How to Make Webcomics because this the picture of Scott always makes me laugh.
Because you guys, and Dave, you have one because of your acting, and Brad, you have one, I don't know, because you're banging some photographer, I don't know. And Chris faked one. Chris is like, oh, I better make one to match Dave and Brad's. And I was like, I'm not making a photo like that. Here, I'll tell you why I'm afraid to take a photo like that. You might think it's a sad story, but it's actually, I think it's a funny story. The late, great Mike Waringo had this photograph of himself where he was doing that, where he's like, hand on his wrist, you know, leaning on his chin. It's a black and white photo, and every time I saw it, I asked him the same thing I asked Brad, which is, what the hell did you get that photo made for? And he said, oh my God, I hate that photo. It was at the Heroes Convention, and a friend of Sheldon Drum's always takes photos, and they were offering to take photos of all the pros there so they could have a nice photo. And she was like, now put your hand on your wrist. And I was thinking to myself, this is going to be the stupidest looking photo ever. And then she made me take another one for fun over my shoulder and told me to act sexy. And now that photo, every time I see it, I just get so mad. And so, you know, I remember that conversation. And then I show up to Mike's funeral. And what photo they have up by his coffin? But that one, and I walked in and I said to Mike up in the heaven or whatever, I said, God damn it, Michael, they're using that fucking photo. It's your goddamn death photo. No. Oh, Michael, even in death you cannot win. You cannot escape. Not even the eternal rest can save you from that photo. And every time there's some tribute or anything, it's always that fucking photo. I can just hear Michael from the grave saying, don't ever take a photo like that. It'll be your goddamn death photo.
So I got to tell you guys, while you were telling that story, Scott, which I love, I did a Google search, Google image search for Brad Geiger, and it took me 3 pages to find that photo of you, Brad.
Really?
Oh, is that right?
On page 1, though, there is a fantastic photo of you and Chris looks like he just got out of jail and is about to kill somebody.
Hold on.
And you, Brad.
That's look one. Okay.
You, Brad looks like he's about to put the moves on someone in the 1940s. I love it.
If you do a search on Mike Waringo on page 2 on the bottom left, is that photo he fucking hates?
I did.
Oh, that picture of me and Brad was from that thing for Mike Waringo.
What?
Oh yeah, we were sitting in the bar in Baltimore.
Right.
Oh yeah, that's right. You guys look all sweaty and stuff because we had to walk that whole way, right? And it was super hot in that bar.
That was a good night though.
And it
was a good night.
And we had walked. I remember this because it was Baltimore. We had walked. What did I miss?
No. I just did an image search at Google. Now I'm doing it on all of you. I did an image search on Chris Straub. You guys have to do this. And look at what the first picture is that comes up.
Which one?
It's Chris Straub. It's Scott pointing. Obviously Scott's at a
pointing
convention. But he's pointing,
at
a puppet. It's almost like the puppet is crap. Oh,
I hate this photo. Okay, this was visit to Staple.
I remember.
And we went to this con in God damn it, where was that? Oh, that's in Austin. And that kid interviews me with the puppet, and he even asked me if he could interview me through the puppet. And I had just gotten that haircut, but they cut it way too short, and I looked like a butch dyke. No, I hate that photo. It pops up everywhere.
There it is.
Nope. Oh, man. Sure enough.
I should not have started to search each one of them.
No, you shouldn't have, because it's time to look at Dave. Where is Dave Kellett? Take a look.
Every photo is awesome.
There he is. There he is squatting. Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Picture one is him hanging out with that woman who takes the picture of that gnome at the con. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Picture two, hanging out with your hot wife and hot actresses. All right, never mind. Dave wins.
Hold on a second. When you type in Chris space Straub, on the first page at the bottom, it says separated at birth, and it's a picture of the guy from Reno 911 in his aviators and Straub in his aviators.
What?
It says, you decide. I can't believe Webcomics Weekly is broken down to us doing Google image searches on each other.
It's just all vanity now.
Let's do Chris Straub is cool. Let's see if that gets anything up.
You know
okay.
I'm going to type that in. Let's see. Nope, nothing came up.
Google crashed.
You know what's awesome about Google searching Scott Kurtz is all the photos before I lost any weight. It's just so great. Just so awesome. There's one photo here when I was 925 pounds, and I'm apparently a cupcake. I look like I've eaten myself, and then the person inside of me that I ate is now eating a cupcake. My eyes are all sunken and dark. What the hell happened in this photo? How did I not kill myself directly after this happened?
Well, how long ago is that? You've lost so much weight since then.
That was 2002, 2003?
Wow.
Wow. This is good stuff, guys. This is a good podcast. Everybody just looking at pictures silently.
This is going to help a lot of people. This is good. We're helping people.
Dave. Kellett.
Yeah, what was that? Who's that?
Search on Scott Kurtz, and on the first page, look at the top right corner.
Okay, I'm searching Scott Kurtz. Okay. Same photo?
No, top right.
Oh, I see. If you go wide enough.
Oh, I got to widen it up. You're on your gigantic 30-inch screen, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. It's the one that links to the hutch.com.
Wow, no way.
Wow. Is that
that's
a photo
nuts.
You put up?
No. Well, I don't know if I made that or not, or maybe he made it.
He must have made it.
That's amazing.
Wow. What
wow.
a difference.
And
that
and,
is crazy.
And even that November 2007 photo is not super accurate anymore, I don't think.
I'm glad we're giving everybody at least the search cues, so it's not just, guys, check this out. I am everybody. That's awesome. Hey, look at this. Click.
Look at that one. Look at that one.
Brad is such a sweet man, but I can tell that right now he's like, wasting time.
Brad's like, I am done.
No, I'm still stuck on hand on the chin because I've got a schedule to get a replacement photo made with the same photographer. And now I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with my hands.
You know what, Red? Red, I got two words for you, and this magic is you're going to thank me for years to come for this. You ready? Two words? Bearskin
yeah.
rug.
Brad, you just got to carry two mugs.
I don't know what to do with my hands. This is natural.
Hey, Chris, you know that picture of you holding that lady's weird troll statue?
Yeah.
There's a similar picture taken. I guess you get to do it with a lot of celebrities. The one with the troll and Margot Kidder, you can't tell which one is the fucking troll.
Oh,
God damn it.
But the good news is they're both booking similar gigs these days, so that's nice.
By the way, you guys, when I put this podcast up, it's just going to get the parental advisory tag because there's no fucking way I'm taking out all the fucking the shit.
Yeah.
It's impossible. I gave up at about 10 minutes in.
Were you earmarking them? Oh, my God, you poor guy.
I was like, there's no way.
You have a little pencil by your desk. You're like, 10 minutes, well, if there's seconds, like, 10 minutes, 35 yeah, seconds, 10 minutes,
if there's
seconds.
Like. If there's like three, you know, I'll go in there and knock them out, but now I can't.
No. Well, hey, shall we try to answer an honest-to-God question before we
yes.
start Googling our high school history? All right, let's see here. So
yeah, no kidding.
So San Diego Con is exciting, and we're going to love it. It's going to be great.
You know what? What booths are we at? So Half Pixel is at 1228 before we move on. And where are you, Scotty? You're at 1235?
I think so, 1235, right?
I think so, yeah. We're on the same row. So if you find Scotty, we're on the other end. And if you find us, Scotty's on the other end from us. So in the same area there.
Nobody's made a con map yet, have they?
No. I made one for my little flyer. But
Comic.com a little bit later this week.
Oh, well, that's
nice.
Good. Are you doing that?
What's that?
You doing that?
Yeah.
You are a sweet man.
You know
you're doing
what?
I am. Well, I should ask this question now. Is there an official webcomics pavilion, or is that
no.
just something
I was
that...
I was going to mention that I wasn't going to mention it at the top of the show, but I still own webcomiccon.com, and we never do anything with it. But that was kind of the idea, like, let's make a place where everybody can say, all right, this is where you're going to find webcomics.
Because there's a lot of webcomics now congregated in that spot. In fact, I took as many logos and stuff as I could and kind of pointed them out for the webcomics.com version.
Yeah.
The one go up on my site, I'm just going to have our logos on.
Oh,
but you
nice.
Know, webcomics.com, I figured I'd put a bunch of logos, and it really does look like a pavilion.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Brad, a round of applause for Brad's work on webcomics.com. That thing's looking sweet. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
But you know what? I just realized one topic I did want to talk about before we move on from San Diego, because this fascinated me. Did you notice amongst all the talks for San Diego Comic-Con, how many are like, join Marvel DC, the head of United Media Syndicate, some newspaper head from New York Times, and everybody else to talk about webcomics? It's like 98 different panels on webcomics this year. Did you notice that?
Really?
Actually, on webcomics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
I mean, the ones.
No, I mean,
In as much as
it's tangential in the way the companies see webcomics, but it'll be like Inkblot presents, you know, Drunk Duck presents, you know, Marvel presents, Zuda presents, all this sort of stuff. And
they're all talking about their online pushes.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that how many of these panels are we on? How many of these panels are people we know on? And that's zero, or, you know, it's like two.
No, there's basically the umbrella panel, our panel.
I was making a list for webcomics.com, and so I went through and I used that tag where you could pull up all the panels on webcomics, and I weeded all of the ones out that had no real connection to webcomics as you and I know webcomics, and I ended up with a list of about four. There's our webcomics panel. There's the one that Dave's on with Keith Knight, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
Keen Spot panel. There's the Umbrella panel. And I think there may be one more that I kind of let slide that was teetering on the brink. And that's it. The rest of them, as far as I'm concerned, are bogus.
How do you mean by bogus?
They're not about webcomics.
Come on.
They're like Keeping your long boxes online. It's
look,
complete.
Brad. Silly Brad. Thursday, 12:45 to 1:45. Disney presents Stan Lee's Time Jumper. Comic legend Stan Lee is owned by Natasha Henstridge, who you may remember as the naked alien in Species, and a couple other guys for a Q&A session.
You know what I love about any time there's a Stan Lee... Anytime there's a Stan Lee joint online, it's always presenting Stan Lee's newest online failure, whatever it's called. You know, it's like every year there's a new one. Stan Lee does.
Yeah.
You weren't a big
fan. But that's not presented as webcomics,
though. It says, I'm searching the page for the webcomics, and it's got a tag that says webcomics. Oh, by the way, that's what kills me is that it says Natasha Henstridge, one of the character voices in Time Jumper. So it's not web comics. It's like, you know, digital motion, and you got to interact with it through a player, and you got to, you know, hold down both mouse buttons and scroll constantly to read. Okay.
What else comes up from that search for web comics that isn't us?
There's lots of stuff here that's not us. Again, we're...
I mean, it's not... What am I trying to say? It's not webcomics the way that we see them.
Not the 60 or 70 things that
I know.
Associated
it's not,
with webcomics.
It's not that we get to define, you know, all of webcomics, but...
No. But what I'm saying is, when I meant that that came out the wrong way. What I mean by that is that, like, Disney's talking about, you know, some cute game that they have on their website, and they call that a webcomic or something.
Right, exactly. Here's the first one I found. Friday is Kazu. The first one.
The only thing that I take away from that that's good is that everybody's trying to jump on the bandwagon we've been on for the last 10 years.
Yeah. And or every other venture that they're currently pursuing in traditional media is failing. So they're like, oh, God, you know. That was my take on it.
See that one panel that I got? The Syndicate guys have a panel that's run by syndicated cartoonists, and the name of the panel is The Syndicates Are Dead, Long Live Syndication. The write-up, if you guys have got it, you'll have to scroll down and read it for me because I don't have it.
I got it here.
But it's like, hey, the Titanic is sinking. We all love swimming.
It's good for you. Get the blood moving.
Yeah, I mean, do you have it there? The right.
I only have a short one.
It just says
this Q&A session with Stephen Pastis, Richard Thompson of Cul-de-Sac, and Keith Knight looks at the pros and cons of comic strip syndication and the challenges and options for aspiring comic strip creators in this era of declining newspaper readership. And the title is "Comic Strip Syndication Is Dead. Long Live Syndication."
Yeah,
I don't understand how you can discuss that and put the words in. What are our options? Because everyone looks at syndicated comic strips as if they are in the paper based on merit. In other words, you're in the paper because your comic is super good, and that's how it survives. And the truth of the matter is that most comic strips that are in the paper and all editorial comics are subsidized by the paper. They're in the paper because the paper chooses to put them in the paper, not because readers choose or because reader market forces drive the paper to choose which ones are in there. The newspapers choose and subsidize the strips. And now that the papers can no longer afford to subsidize things like comics, they'll stop. And if a comic strip is going to survive moving forward, it just has to survive on its own merits now, not because it's subsidized. So I don't understand what the option is. The only option before was that newspapers subsidized comic strips, and now there possibly won't be anymore. So what is your option?
Yeah, I don't know.
And if you can be said to have an option, if you could make up an answer to that question, it would have nothing to do with syndication.
No,
so this
yeah.
whole, like, if syndication is dead, long live syndication, that's crap. That is not an option any longer. The whole thing has collapsed. You've got one option, and that's to start doing this stuff for yourself.
When PvP first became my full-time job, it was because I was subsidized. I was subsidized by UGO, which was a, you know, a dot-com content company.
Yeah.
And when that money dried up, PvP was then subsidized by GameSpy. GameSpy paid for two or three exclusive comics. And when UGO was unable to subsidize me anymore, my option was to find someone else to subsidize me for a year so I could build up revenue streams underneath it that would allow me to survive without being subsidized. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's what had to happen. And I haven't had anything close to a subsidy since Crispy Gamer offered to pay me for Ding, and that didn't super work out well because the only reason I did it was for the subsidy, and my heart wasn't in it. So, and now that it's back on my website as something that I'm doing on my own and trying to build my own revenue streams around, and I think it's flourishing. So, yeah, it's interesting to hear them talk about their options. I don't know if they understand their option is to choose not to be subsidized anymore. Yeah. Dave's been awful quiet during all this.
No, well, a part of me, if I didn't, I actually, this is going to sound really stupid, but Glow was pointing out panels that I should go to. This is going to be a long answer to that question, but Glow was pointing out panels that I should go to at San Diego because a friend of ours they directed a movie for Sony and they're going to have a panel down at San Diego, and she's like, "Are you going to go to that panel?" And I said, no, because every hour I'm away from my booth cost me X amount of dollars. And I told her the amount, and she went, oh, geez, no, don't go to that panel. And a part of me would love to go to this syndicated panel because I would really love to hear.
Yeah, I'm getting it too.
Did I block out? Did I drop out?
It's all right. When we assemble it, it'll be fine. So keep going.
All right. Well, what I was going to say is so she said, are you going to go to this panel? I said, no, because I had quantified it. Every hour I'm away from my panel, my booth, I lose X amount of money. And she said, oh, well, then don't go. But my point is that with the syndicated panel, I would really love to hear what they have to say because I honestly am curious to hear what their strategy is. But it's just not worth it for me to go to a lot of these panels because if I leave for a half an hour or an hour, what? What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing because it's like Skype can detect content. If we're just sitting here talking about nonsense, it's fine. But the second you have an anecdote or a story you want to get across, the things are.
I'm getting the thing over here too.
Yeah, Dave, you've said the sentence. Every time I leave my booth, I lose X amount of dollars, and it always bleeps. It always cuts out exactly when you're about to tell us how much you'll lose.
Oh, really?
No, I think he just said X.
It knows when the important word is.
Give us a number.
There's some guy on the other
line. Stop saying numbers. The point is, I would love to see that.
I got your gist. Is you'd love to see what that panel's about, but it's not worth being away from the booth.
Yeah, well, and I had this larger thought, and you guys can tell me if I'm being ridiculous, but I wish that I had two San Diego Comic Cons, one where I could work and one where I could go to all these panels, because I never get all year long. I'm searching online for content that's related to comics because I love to read about stuff like that. And then here's this 5-day period where it's all this stuff of everything that I look for the rest of the year, but I've got to work it, you know. So I'm a little bit bummed about that sometimes when I stop to think about it.
Don't you think though? Like a lot of the time, I don't want to go to those. Like I want to see panels, but then I get mad. I want to argue, so I don't want to just go and fight, you know.
Oh, you mean you want to answer?
I have the same experience.
Yeah, Brad.
I have the same experience, right? Not because I necessarily get mad and want to argue, although at the syndicate one I would. But so many of the panels that we go to sit, you know, like to view instead of participate, they're run so terribly that I have to leave in frustration. You've got that whole system where, a moderator asks a question and then each of the people down the line answer the same question over and over again. And it's just, it's torturous.
Right, it's not a discussion. It's just a how would you answer it? How would you answer it? And they've all said the same thing, like remember to bring books.
And now it's my turn to answer it, so I can sneak in a little anecdote about my own comic and get my title or URL out there. It's horrible.
Right. Well, the sad truth.
I don't miss not. Yeah. I got honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my lament was just that I look for this stuff online all year. Any scrap I can find about comics all year round. Like, I'm reading Comics Reporter, I'm reading The Daily Cartoonist, I'm reading, the Comics Journal online, just for scraps of anything interesting to do with comics. And then here's this 5-day event where it's literally just a cornucopia of conversations and talks. And I, for the most part, I never leave my booth, you know?
Yeah, but you know, the best time those talks happen are after the show. I want to talk to my peeps, you know?
That's true.
No, that's really, right. Do you feel that way, Chris? Because I don't.
I absolutely feel that way. You jackass.
The warmth is so evident.
You know what we got to do? You know, in all seriousness, we got to get somebody who listens to the podcast to sit in on that syndicate panel and take really good notes and then come back and gossip with
us.
Yes, do you want to have any of the people on the panel to take notes on their panel?
What day is it? What day is that panel?
We need somebody, though,
I don't know.
We know is funny to invite on the show afterward, you know?
There's one every day. I think there's one Friday and there's one Saturday. In the
Wait, there's a syndicate panel every day?
Well, there's quote-unquote webcomics panels every day, and they're all like webcomics web 2.0, how to make compelling content for the corner of your iPhone. It's like,
that was one I was hearing on there. What day is the syndicate one? That's the one that's true.
I think that's Saturday before. It's like Saturday 2 hours before ours.
Somebody's got to go to that one and take good notes and then come up and let us know what happened. Because I'm fascinated in a train wreck sort of way.
Yeah, it's a new...
Oh, I know. Let's send Koo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
You think go?
I don't know. I mean, we should bring it up to him. Yeah, he's on Instant Messenger. Robert Koo.
He'll say, you want me to get away from the booth? Why would I do that?
We're reporting Webcomics Weekly and discussing how we all wish we could justify,
my love,
leaving the booth for an hour to watch the panel on saving syndication.
With bated breath, they waited.
We all decided.
I know. We're realizing that Scott, not a 90-word-a-minute typer. We are talking about... What is that from? What is that joke from?
That was my first time I had my iPhone, and I was writing to Carolyn, and Scott were being horrible.
Oh, it was
right.
When Brad first... We were at the New England Webcomics Weekend, all four of us in a hotel room, and Brad was texting his wife, and his phone would go, bring, because he just got something from his wife, and then Brad would just go, tack.
Because, yeah, he didn't know how to – you hadn't turned off the sound yet, right, on your typing feature?
Mm.
Oh, Brad, speed typist, like his players. Tag, having great time. Tell kids, love them.
The other great iPhone experience with Brad that weekend was where he says, download an app where you can just talk into the phone, and it'll make a Twitter out of it. Watch. Get with my friends. And it's like, hack a burger. Guys, I swear to God, this works. Testing Twitter voice app. Ring. Fantastic. You're going to love it. You're going to want to download it.
And it's coming out in, like, Land of the Lost sleaze stack.
And then right before bed, Dave pulls out his iPhone and goes, hey, guys, you mind if I put on my white noise machine? Click. And at first I was like, son of a bitch. Seriously, Kellett's going to play this white noise machine all... Minutes later, that thing put me into a deep coma-like baby sleep.
I love that white noise machine.
I was like, goddamn, L.A. living hippie with this fucking Hollywood bullshit noise. Oh, man. I woke up the next morning fucking refreshed. Oh, what happened? How did I sleep so well?
Your skin cleaner. Your feet feeling as though they were massaged.
Normally, I have to drink a bunch of beer and eat some cat food and sniff some glue to sleep.
No, but you know what? I remember that moment because I was like, hey, you guys mind if I put on my white noise machine? And I could just feel the anger from the other side. No, put it on. And then, we're still talking until like 4 in the morning, and then Scotty's out in like 5 minutes. I loved it. All right.
Yeah, but then the next day I'm like, you're going to put on your white noise machine? You're going to put on your white noise machine? Because I love it.
It's like, Scotty, we're at the show. You've got to stay awake.
Did we lose Chris now?
How could we have lost him? He's the host. Chris?
Chris. Oh, he's saying wait.
What is happening?
I don't know why you can't hear him. Keep going. I don't know.
Keep going.
It's on his end.
He's doing.
I'm just going to read what Chris typed.
Chris is just like, stay alive no matter what occurs. I will find you.
I love Baja. Here, I'll be Chris. Wait. I don't know why you can't hear me. Keep going. It's on my end. I love balls.
Nice.
Did Kuev respond to the IM?
No, he's not responding to the IM.
He's still typing. Tack, tack, tack. All right, so let's do one question. Brad, you want to read the question on plateauing, or do you want me to read it?
Go ahead and read it.
Oh, okay. Hello, webcomics. What happened? What did I do?
It was like you weren't expecting me to say that.
I honestly thought you were going to jump on it. All right. The question is from Bridget Underwood, and her URL is Dove. Wait a second. How do I say this? Dove Coat Crest. But the coat is spelled COTE Crest. So I think coat, like you would write coast in French. Dove Coat Crest. Maybe that's how it is. Anyway, hello, Webcomics Weekly. I've been a listener for a couple months now, and I've really benefited from all the great advice. Skip. Okay, what do you do to get past a plateau? My friend and I started our comic back in September. After getting a few favorable links and reviews, our readership really shot up. Now we've finished our first storyline, and things have settled into place. Do we just coast along here, or is it time to make another effort to reach more readers? And what promotions work best for young but not brand new comics who already have a solid audience?
I don't know if you started your comic in September that you can really – they haven't even been going a full year yet. I don't know that you can complain too loudly about plateauing yet. I think this is the time that they should not necessarily be paying that much attention to their stats. Of course they shot up. They started at zero. They shouldn't be paying so much attention to their stats. Should be paying attention, making their comic really good, and maybe checking in another 6 months or so after they've got an entire year under their belts.
I think that's probably solid advice.
Yeah.
So, Brad, what would you?
Let's all go down the line and answer that. This exact thing.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it San Diego Comic Con style. Hi, my name is Dave Kellett. I do SheldonComics.com. I've got 2 new books out. I would say you've only been doing it for 6 months, so keep going and don't look at your stats.
Hey, guys, this is Chris Straub. When I'm doing my comic at starslip.com, which is wacky science fiction humor for the whole family, everybody's going to love it. When you do that, you're going to have a great time visiting my website. Oh, was the question. Sorry.
Well, listen, to answer your question about that, I think, look, you know, you're just starting PvP.
And then Scott, you reach under the table and you grab a T-shirt launcher and you're just like, thoop, 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 shooting them onto the audience. PvP.
You see, like, there's a mascot. Thoop, thoop, thoop. There's a mascot. It's like PvP man.
Sure.
Anyway, Dan.
PvP,
I want
man.
To know what you could be doing to improve your traffic. What the real question you'd be asking is what you could be chewing. The answer's taffy. Bring it out, guys. You got a barrel of taffy. Am I right,
taffy,
guys?
Everybody, come on. Who's with?
I was trying to fix my sound problem. Did we answer this question or not?
Brad gave a serious response, and per usual, the rest of us gave sarcastic responses.
No, I agree. But did you, and Brad, did you answer, how do you make another effort to reach more readers? I mean, it's the kind of thing where, yeah, like it might be too early to be worried about it.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think if you're concentrating on what to do to get new readers right now, at this point that you haven't even crossed the 1 year mark yet, then not only is your focus off, but you're going to be missing things that actually do bring readers in naturally, like improving your comic. People are looking for this magic smoke and mirrors things. Well, here's what you do. On the first Sunday of the month, you put a Project Wonderful ad in, but only for a webcomic that starts with the letter H.
Yeah.
And
okay, I'm writing this down.
The secret is you make a comic that people can't possibly resist. That's how you get more readers. It's got nothing, and that's what they should be worried about, especially if they only started in September.
Right, what if I can't?
Well, then you start a you can start a Blogspot site and
start
a little bit later.
Done and done. I have already registered.
But no, I really do. I don't want to come off as the curmudgeon yet again. But I make that clear. Right now, they should be really concentrating on their comic. And not worrying about bringing in new readers, because improving their comic is going to do that for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. You know what it is? I try to remember what it's like at those in that first year, and it's hard to hear that advice, I think, because people are like, all right, yeah, great, thanks, guy who's been doing it for 10 years. But I'm sick of having, 500 readers. I want 1,000 readers. And I don't know. The thing is, there are really no tricks, so I don't know what we can tell them other than to keep creating. And you know what? Let me give this as an example. I did absolutely nothing different this week than I've done in the last 700 weeks for Sheldon, right? But all of a sudden, for no reason whatsoever, somebody on StumbleUpon stumbled some, believe it or not, a Christmas comic strip that I did 3 years ago. And my traffic has just gone through the roof with this one strip that I have – really even no recollection of creating, never mind knowing which one it was. And and the thing is that the reason why I bring that up is I have done absolutely no work for it, and the web came to me for work that I did 3 years ago, and only because it was good, I guess. So if you're worried about it, I don't know why I'm stumbling on saying this. The basic idea is that the web finds good work, and it rewards good work. It might take a while. It probably takes longer than you think it's going to take. But just keep building up that vast quantity of good work, and something will start to hit with all sorts of different groups, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing. No one likes
I
that.
Would also like to say
– no, I agree.
But I would also like to say that this is a really interesting – question, considering a movie I watched today. I get the International Film Channel or Independent Film Channel and watched American Splendor about about Harvey Pekar.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Pekar being the first journal comic author, to be honest. This is a guy who works as a file clerk in a hospital and makes comics about his life and the drudgery of life and kind of a misery loves company kind of thing. And it was interesting to see how he used to be a regular guest on Letterman. Like, they flew him from Cleveland to New York to be on Letterman. He was on a lot. It showed him after his fourth or fifth appearance on the David Letterman show, and he's back in Cleveland, and some guy comes up and says, "Hey, I know you. You're that guy on David Letterman." And he's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, you're awesome. You're hilarious." And Harvey says, "Really? Why don't you buy my comic then?" And the guy goes, "No, you're great on Letterman, though." And, he stopped going on Letterman because he felt like they were making fun of him, and it didn't help his sales. And it just was amazing to me that being almost a regular guest – on the David Letterman show didn't help this guy sell any comics.
Wow.
He kept going. He kept making his comics. He still does. But there's got to be another reason in this. And, Chris and I were talking about this yesterday, about this ridiculous notion that most of the people that are involved in making their own comics or making their own web comics have bought into some kind of delusion they're going to be famous. And I would say that the opposite is true. I would say if you interviewed people, you'd find that 90% of them make comics because they love it, despite the fact they know they'll probably not make any money at it. And I think it's a minority of people who really get some kind of notion in their head that, you know, they're going to make
If you come to it with any idea of like, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm only going to do it because I'm going to be famous, or I'm only going to do it because I'm going to be successful, then you, not only will you not become famous or successful, but your comics will be awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
No, agreed. But I just don't think that's the number one motivation. And so I always think that whenever we get an email like this where they're like, wow, I've been doing this webcomic thing and I just don't think my t-shirts aren't selling very well or I don't think my traffic is really good, and you're like, well, how long has your comic been around? And it's always 6 months, you know, or a year, or
which even 3 years is not all that much.
No.
You know, probably not.
You know how we were talking about Professor Mullins earlier tonight, over at SCAD? His death reminded me of an email exchange he and I had, because he reminded me of something that I wrote a long time ago and totally forgot about, and it's totally applicable to what we're talking about now, which is that the careers that are worth having in life are worth taking years and years and years working for. And in this article that I wrote, I was talking about how medical school, like, you're going 4 years undergrad, you're going another 4 years for medical school, then you're going 2 years as a whatchamacallit, where you're an underling. What do you call that? An internship, essentially. And then finally, after 10 years, maybe 11 to 12, you're released into the physician world. And then you start making good, bad, indifferent money as a doctor, but you're a doctor. But my point is that, like, the things that are worth having in life don't come in two days. If you want to be in the NBA, that's 15 years of work, you know? If you want to be a doctor, that's 10 years of work. So where the hell do people get off thinking, hey, I'm going to be a webcomic artist. It's been 9 months. Where's my car? You know, it's going to take you the better part of a decade to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I have an interview with Merlin Mann that I did and I've not posted yet, where he talks about and you guys will, I think you guys will really enjoy the interview. I just need to edit it up a bit. We're talking about how if you're a doctor or you're a lawyer and you're at a cocktail party and someone comes and says, what do you do? And you say, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. They go, oh, okay. And the conversation ends there. But if you're anything creative, if you're a writer or if you're an artist, they always have this kind of almost brazen audacity to say, how do you make a living at that? How do you earn money at that? Like, what's the secret? Like, how does that work? But no one would ever dream to go up to a doctor and say, doctor, really, how do you earn money at that? But they'll do it to us. Like, they'll do it to writers or
I like the idea that, yeah, absolutely. The visual is, you know, like, I'm a doctor. Well, you automatically know he was in school for 13 years. But you're like, I'm a cartoonist. That it's like, what, you mean in margins? You know, like,
It's the notion that's a notion that you achieved. You know, what do you do for a living? I'm a cartoonist. It's like, oh, neat. You know, like, what a neat trick. As if there was some other path to that was different than any other path to any other career where you make a living. You know, it's like, oh, how do you make money at that? Well, you work at it really hard for, you know, 6 to 10 years like you do any other career.
What was the trick, though?
Yeah, but then what do you do? What's the magic sleight of hand?
How long have you been doing it for? I've been doing it for, like, 12 years. That's not – no. Come on. You can't do that for 12 years. Draw pictures for 12 years.
And this is another thing that I've been getting – that's new that I've been getting recently, and I wonder if it's some kind of reflection of people seeing a lot of movies based on comics. But this is a new one. Have you guys gotten this yet where you say, I'm a cartoonist, and they say, wow, I wish I had your job. You must be making a ton of money.
Hmm. Oh, well, yeah, because they're like, oh, wow, cartoonists, I love Pixar. That's what it is.
I mean, that
me is shocking. Why would anyone think I was making any money at this?
Because they like comics.
I guess.
Well, I don't know what the answer to that is. I haven't gotten that particular email, but maybe I should stop sending you.
Oh, no, it's not an email. This is not an email. This is usually people that
that walk up
are outside
like
the whole thing. Oh, you know, it happened recently at my dad's birthday party, you know.
Huh.
Did you ever get anybody to throw water in your face? Or how dare you?
That happened to you?
No. Well, I did something after I said I was a cartoonist.
I'm a cartoonist, and they go, oh, splash.
How dare you, sir? My wife was killed by a cartoonist.
I make blank paper.
No, I've never gotten that one. I think the assumption on most people's, like you talk to a banker, a baker, a toilet seat maker, and sorry, that made me laugh. And I think most of their assumption is that, oh, look, you're an artist, so you're living on a floor somewhere when you can't afford shoes. That's the attitude I tend to get, at least in L.A.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's the one I
get. Like, I am a cartoonist, and they go, aww.
Well, that's just it. I have a hard time saying that to people. You know, I always lead with graphic artists and stuff like that and throw in cartoonists at the end. I have a hard time saying cartoonists because I never know what kind of response I'm going to get from people.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
No, I agree with Brad. I agree with Brad. I'm sensitive to say
cartoonists. Do you lie about what you do?
Well, I mean, for me, I can say I'm a graphic artist at a newspaper, and I do cartoons on the side, and it's kind of a different thing. But see, I could easily go either way, but I'm self-conscious about admitting that I do cartoons.
Wow.
And it's not that I'm ashamed of it. It's just a weird thing that I've always had.
I had this conversation with David Mauke, and the idea was that when you say you're a cartoonist, the word cartoonist might not give people the right impression. They might think you're an animator. They might not understand what it is what does that entail, and how does it make money?
For the simple reason, Chris, that I bet more people by a factor of tens of millions know cartooning as animation and don't even read print anything anymore.
It has the word cartoon in it, and
right.
that's the handle, yeah. But then when you throw into the mix, like, you know, you have to blog, you Twitter, you make appearances at conventions and all this sort of thing, that's stuff that's even less thought of as being a cartoonist. So how do you – is there a job description that you could deliver to somebody succinctly that would explain all that without making it, you know, without being like, I'm a new media raconteur, you know.
I'm a personality. Wow. I'm an personality.
That's very, very interesting. I have never considered saying anything other than cartoonist.
Yeah. Tim, you know what you don't want?
I mean, I don't think about it.
Because to me, that is what a cartoonist is now, is all of that.
That's true.
Like, I think, for example, like Tatsuya or Gurwitch are more of the standouts in that they don't do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's more traditional.
Well, it's just
but,
that,
yeah.
that they keep their personality out of it.
Right, right. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I get, oh, animator, huh? Like, oh, so you want to work for Disney? That's the other thing that kills me is that it's never like, oh, like, I'm a cartoonist. That's not an end state. They're like, oh, so you're going to try and get a job at Disney? Like, no, it's its own thing. I'm a doctor. Oh, so you're going to go to school?
The thing I always get is when you say I'm a cartoonist, the very next thing they always say is, oh, where can I see your work? And that's the one that always hangs me up. Because then I don't want to explain that.
See, but that's the same thing, that where you're like, oh, well, I have a website, and they just go, okay.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So do I. So does my 10-year-old.
I mean, I don't mind the term. I guess I kind of like the term cartoonist, and so it's kind of sad that I have these prepared responses now, but it's like, what do you do? I'm a cartoonist. Oh, wow. Like in the newspapers? Oh, yeah, kind of like that. Where do I see your work? Oh, here and there. I publish books. I post online. I'm in some
you know, some magazines. I mean, I guess I consider my comic book a magazine, but I mean, for the purpose of this conversation with, you know, this practical stranger, that's enough for them. You know, that's enough. And it gets the point across. They understand that I have a creative job. And then the conversation goes to, well, that's fun. And then you say, oh, yeah, it absolutely can be a lot of fun. And then they always say, I bet it's a lot of work, though, too. And then you say, well, yeah, it's tough being your own boss sometimes.
Who are you talking to? Who do you get to talk to?
That's how they all go.
They're scared of you.
No,
I don't know.
I'll be honest, Chris. That's virtually the same conversation I have with everybody that on an elevator or whatever that asks me or at a cocktail party.
Yeah. Whenever that subject comes up, that's usually how it goes.
Can I tell you
who the fuck are you running into?
I don't know, but I talk to people that are like, oh, cartoons. So you draw cartoons. Yeah. Oh, that's so much fun.
Chris,
you and your
Chris,
little idea.
Can I risk being a little insulting here, maybe? And is it possible that when I answer the question, I say, oh, I'm a cartoonist? And when you answer the question, you go, I'm a cartoonist?
No, that's not
okay. I'm just checking.
No, but that makes sense. That makes
with all
sense.
The self-loathing and...
There might be a little bit something there. It all depends on how you present yourself. And I hope... You guys have seen me at Comic Convention. I have no problems talking about my comics with total strangers. At Comic Convention,
yeah.
The elevator, forget about it. I clam up. It bothers me that.
You know what it is, Brad? It's because.
Kind of serendipitous opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think maybe you just don't want to engage in that small talk.
Well, you know, a little bit of that too.
I think it's because at a convention, the context of the con is they're coming up to you because they're wanting to know that information, you know, approaching your booth is asking, okay, what do you do? But in an elevator, you know, that context is not there, and it can become awkward. Yeah. I don't picture Brad in an elevator when someone says, oh, what do you do for a living? And you go, I'm a cartoonist. It's about a group of villains that are, have their office. You can do more evil if it's legal. Pause. Wait for the laugh. 3, 2, 1. Step. You know, that's not going to happen in the elevator. He's not going to give the pitch.
That's true. Scotty? Oh, go ahead, Brad. Sorry.
I just want to say, since I'm out of that context, I'm all thumbs. I can't handle it.
Oh, really?
I just can't. I can be really good at a comic convention, but I can in an elevator, I'd die.
I don't know, Brad. I think you're underestimating yourself. I've been sitting down in a restaurant with you or something where a waitress asks what you do, and you always seem to handle yourself very well. Like, whenever I see you, you're underrating yourself. You do a very good job of describing.
Yeah, I agree, too.
But the one part where I will disagree with Scott, though, is that the part that I really enjoy talking about now is that I used to be like, yeah, it's kind of like in a newspaper. But now, in the last couple of years, now I'm like, it's online. And people are like, really? And you make money at that? That's the part of the conversation that I love. Because I kind of get excited when people are like, there's no way to make money online. And I'm like, for most of the millions of people online, they haven't figured it out. Nope, there's no way to make money online. And they're like, oh. And, you know, you start describing your business model to them, and it's kind of exciting, I think. You know?
I like it. Now, I've seen your pitch in the elevator, Dave. You're just like, well, that's true. A lot of people don't make whoops, and then just a huge billfold falls out of your pocket. I'm sorry. Let me just scoop that up.
No,
all
you
right.
know what, Chris? I don't even pick it up. I'm like, nah, it's not worth the effort. I got my back out of a hitch. But don't you guys kind of a little bit find joy when someone's like, oh, you can't make money online. I put up a Google ad on my blog, and I've only made 10 cents. And you're like, yep, all right, well, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, screw those guys.
Maybe that's just me. I find a secret joy in that.
No, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. But there's a difference between when you're talking with someone who has no skin in the game and you're talking to someone who does have skin in the game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's different when you're talking to someone who's a dental assistant and they're curious about what you do And when you're talking to someone else who might actually have a blog or a website.
Or a little skin in the game. A
little skin in the game.
As we like to call it.
That's how we like to say it in the webcomics. Biaz. Hey, Koo responded before we wrap up. His response was, ha, the question is, why would I go? And I said, curiosity, I guess. I'm afraid if I went, I would get into an argument. And Koo says, and if I went, I'm afraid I'd fall asleep.
I figured. He's not interested in that.
Koo hates being on the panels he's on.
I'll just sleep on him.
All right, well, we've been going for like 2 hours. Can we wrap it up? Is that been enough, you jackals?
Yeah,
listening? Do you get enough Webcomics Weekly?
All right, I hope. And by the time you hear this, we had a great time at San Diego.
No, you're posting.
You coming out. Thank you all for coming out. It was a great show. Thank you so much. You realize, though, that by the time we do another Webcomics Weekly, it will have been over. The week that I look forward to all year round will have already been passed by the next time we record one of these.
No, it's great, and it's great to have all of us here this time.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing this 24/7 in like 10 days.
Which is good, because I haven't spoken to you guys for the better part of a month for the most part.
I know.
And then I can't wait for all four of us to end up at some hotel bar where Patrick Stewart and Kate Mulgrew will serenade us.
Yes.
Hey, we're doing In-N-Out Burger Wednesday night, right?
Yes, we're definitely doing In-N-Out Burger. In fact, I want to take you to a better one that's closer to Tijuana. That's pretty awesome.
Where
I cannot guarantee that we won't get shot, but which is kind of a cool interview.
Hold on. Listen, you're not going to make me break my never going to Mexico rule. So.
And Scott looks down to check his iPhone a minute, and he looks up again, and all of a sudden, he's like, no, I'm in Mexico. You see a donkey painted like a zebra. No.
I'm like, what the hell happened? And some guy goes, you didn't know about the moving border? Oh, yeah.
It's new.
No. Up you start America again.
Well, Glow asked me again, and we got to do it at some future San Diego, but we have to schedule it where you guys come stay at our place a day or two before or after. The problem is San Diego is so darn long, but I want to have you guys out at some point. No response to that. Oh, no one wants to come to my house. All right.
Dave, I believe I'll be in town before and after San Diego. So.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, man. So come on, guys.
And you're like, Brad Scott? Dilute that a little bit?
It's like the one kid in the front row raising his hand. Ooh. Anyone else? Anybody? No? All right, Chris, come on over.
Oh, wait a minute. I had thought of something. Chris is single to San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. What does that mean?
That means three married guys standing around living vicariously through Chris.
Yes.
That's right.
That's right. Rob is getting
playing.
Hey, come on, guys. My mom's probably listening to this.
Guess what just got edited out?
That's right, Dave. It's like, you know what? Scott's like, you know what's going to happen to this, Andy? He goes, Straub's going to be very respectful. Now that has to get edited out. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. You know what? Definitely get that out.
It has been 2 hours, though. I'm getting the 2 hour signal from the.
I got.
From the bladder.
From the little guy bringing up cups of water for the marathon.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, you know what? Right. I'll see you guys all in a week and a half in a little city I like to call San Diego. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and before I forget, Half Pixel panel Saturday afternoon. I don't know what time. 2, 4? What was it?
It's 2 to 3.
2 to 3.
Roommate, I believe.
Roommate. All right. And we're in booth 1228, and Scott is in booth. I keep wanting to say room. Scott is in room 12. God, booth 1220-35.
I think it's 1235.
I'm in room 817.
I need to go to bed. Clearly. All right.
Six.
You've been listening.
Good night.
You've been listening to Webcomics Daily, and we'll see you guys all tomorrow night.
I've been listening to a reasonable simile of Webcomics Weekly.
80% Google image searches and 20% San Diego Comic-Con.
Bye.
Bye.